In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon for my sins and for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. We celebrate today the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ to heaven, body and soul. 40 days after his resurrection, and 10 days before Pentecost, the sending of the Holy Spirit. As we are going to have a Eucharistic benediction also, I'll keep the meditation a bit shorter so it won't get too late. Ascension of Christ to heaven, body and soul. In this meditation, we're going to touch a little bit upon the ascension and then themes of the evening of recollection. Jesus Christ has been taken to heaven, body and soul. Body, because, Lord, after your resurrection, you have a body, you are back in your whole being, in your incarnate and risen being. We understand, even though we don't fully understand it, but we know that your risen state is not the same as before you rose from the dead. It's you, it's the same you, and you're able to eat bread and fish, and we can touch you, and you can come to us in the most holy Eucharist to feed us with your body and blood. But precisely this last thing is possible because it's not like before the resurrection. You have this glorious body. And in some sense, it's reflected in this great feast of the Ascension that you're taking up to heaven. This might be interpreted in different ways. I don't know all the different interpretations, but at least one is that it's like to underline two different aspects of our faith. I mean, the reason why I say interpret is that the way we understand, Lord, your ascension is not that you went finally to live on top of the clouds, or that you went to live in Mars or Jupiter, and that's why we are with Elon Musk trying to go to Mars. No, Mars is not our destiny. Our destiny is heaven. And heaven is not a place in this material universe, like some other planet or some other galaxy. We don't really have other words for what it is. A different way of being, a different dimension, like another universe, which, however, is connected to this in ways that we don't fully understand. I suppose when we go to the other side, we will understand it. It's like they're not symmetrical. From this side, you cannot see to the other side, but I suppose from the other side, you can see here. Whatever it is, this feast of the Ascension, that, Lord, you rose up to heaven before the gaze of the apostles and disciples. You were lifted up, and a cloud took you out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as they went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go up into heaven. So it highlights two different things. One is the destiny for all of us, the goal, the purpose of our life. Jesus, you said in the Last Supper that you go back to the Father and you go to prepare a place for us. You go to prepare like a home for us. And there's enough place for everyone. That's what you said. But we go with our whole being. That is the goal, body and soul. And the resurrection, your rising from the dead, is not to come back to this life again, because then you would be mortal and you would die again. But for us also, it means that our faith in the resurrection and our faith in you, O Lord, has not the purpose of just living better in this life. It does have an impact on the way we live in this life, in this world. But that's not the main goal. And we don't judge our faith or our Christian life by how content we are in this life, how well everything turns out in this life, because that is not the main goal. This is a pilgrimage. This is a road, a path. So this feast, this solemnity is an invitation for us to have a clear sense of the purpose, the objective, the goal. But it does give a different sense, a new sense of the present things. And that's one of the themes suggested to our evening of recollection. The topic would be chastity or holy purity. Because this goal of ours and this reality of the resurrection gives us a new sense of our present life, including our life in the body, in our present body. It is different in some ways from the risen body of Christ, but nevertheless, St. Paul, as you remember, calls the body the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's a remarkable thing to say, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Before the coming of Christ and before the sending of the Holy Spirit, there was only one temple, the temple of Jerusalem. And that was, for a time, the only place in which it was said that the Holy Spirit dwells. But God didn't come to dwell in some temple of stone. Rather, we are those stones, as St. Peter writes in his letter. We are those living stones with which God builds his temple. And so, our body is something very valuable, very precious in God's sight, in God's plan. Something capable of receiving the greatest of all gifts, which is God himself. And this, of course, gives this virtue of holy purity a great value. It is not a negative thing. We might say that sometimes, or in the eyes of this world, or people who only live for this world, we might say that the Christian ideal of chastity is like saying no, no, no. Not this, not that, don't look, don't do this, whatever. But we say, it's yes, yes, yes. That is the point. Saying yes to God, yes to love, yes to eternal life, yes to the Holy Spirit. Saint Jose Maria used to say that the Holy Spirit is a joyful affirmation of love. Affirmation means saying yes, saying this, yes, something good. Affirmation of love. You remember that text in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus speaks about, well, Jesus says many things there, but he refers to the law. And he says, do not think that I have come to destroy the law, to abolish the law. He's referring to the law of Moses. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them, to bring them to perfection. And then Jesus gives examples of commandments of the law and invites us not only to leave them externally, but to leave them with the whole purpose of why they have been written. So, for example, you have heard that it was said, you shall not kill. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother shall be liable to the council, and so on. It's not just do not kill, but learn to love and respect and live in harmony with everyone. And then Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, which is like the extreme, the most clear sin against purity and fidelity in marriage. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I don't want to highlight here this, okay, it's hard, you know, like to live this perfectly. Yes, well, for us it's probably impossible to live it perfectly. That's not the point. But note this word, heart, the heart. That is the key. God is not interested in our body as just some kind of material thing. The heart, our person, the whole of our person, body and soul, the core of my person. That is what holy purity is about. Guarding our heart, making it and keeping it capable of truly loving. So we might say that there's two sides to this virtue. One is the positive side, that yes, to say yes to true love. And the other is the defense. The defense of the heart against everything that threatens its integrity, threatens integral love. And what threatens is everything that is the use of the procreative powers of the human being for purposes that are not according to God's plan, which is fidelity, self-giving, marriage and fidelity, and sense of sacrifice and respect for that gift of cooperating in God's work of creation. But when it's separated from that and turned into just kind of a game or some momentary enjoyment, then it's brought down to an animal level that is no longer truly human. This is a great virtue, very important in our time. Let's ask God to inspire us to live it faithfully, or at least make an effort to struggle. How important it is for a true life of the Spirit and for a genuine, open ability to love other men, to really live that double commandment of love of God and love of neighbor with a pure heart. I just mentioned briefly some ideas, because there's that side of the yes, of actively loving people around us and loving God in prayer and charity, exercising all the powers and talents that we have, and then that side of defense. And the first step, perhaps in the battle of purity, the first fundamental thing is to be convinced with God's help. We can ask for it as a gift if we cannot see it. It might sometimes happen that because of our passions we are kind of blinded. Then let's ask for that gift. Lord, help me to see it as you see it, see its value, to reject any kind of materialistic idea of myself. That you're calling me to be immortal by God's grace, to live forever. And that I have an immaterial soul, a spiritual soul. And that is my true value. And the value of my body is precisely that it's capable of being elevated to genuine love. But then I also need God's help to live with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That I don't think of it just in terms of my own strength, trying to be so strong, you know. More than strong, I need to be humble. In a sense, this virtue of chastity is connected to the whole of my moral life. Because if it's a gift of the Holy Spirit also, then I need a determination to try to do God's will in everything. That sounds very demanding. In some sense it is. But at the same time, it's the normal little things of everyday life. The desire, the determination to do God's will in all little things, from morning to evening, and from evening to morning. And we might almost say that holy purity is like a side effect. That determination to do God's will, forgetting our own comfort, striving to serve others, praying, not living for ourselves, but for God's glory and the salvation of souls. There are many other things that we might say, and I don't try to be kind of exhaustive here. There are many human means, like Saint Jose Maria writes, in the way of the need to flee sometimes, like run away. There are occasions of sin that where we need to, we cannot say, oh, I'll be so strong. No, well, then you can only blame yourself if something goes wrong. Flee. Have the courage to be a coward, so to speak, from occasions of sin. And to fight, to make a battle far from the walls of our fortress. That's a very classic idea for the spiritual life and very practical. How do I spend my time? How do I control my curiosity with my use of the mobile or internet in general? If I go about all the time just looking everything that is attractive and pleasant, even if it's perfectly fine morally, then if something comes up that is not okay for me morally, then it's hard for me to say no, because I'm constantly saying yes to what is attractive. So other things that I watch, the movies, the music I listen to, keeping the battle far from the walls of our fortress. Little things, out of love. And finally, sincerity in spiritual direction, sincerity in confession, sacrament of confession, speaking things clearly, asking for advice, so not hiding anything. That's a great help. Saint Jose Maria again used to often encourage us to, with things of Holy Spirit, holy purity, not to give it special importance, but to always make sure that nothing stays hidden, like some kind of a secret vice or some kind of a cesspool, kind of a, something unclean in our heart that doesn't come out. No. Say it very clearly and let it come out. Let the Holy Spirit breathe that joy and peace back to your soul. Well, we almost have to finish our prayer already, but before we finish, just a few words about one other topic, which is the Blessed Virgin Mary. She, of course, would be a great topic for whole meditation, but it's now important to mention briefly because May is a month of Mary, traditionally, and our relationship with Mary connects very nicely with the themes that we have considered, you know, the Ascension. Jesus is taken up to heaven, body and soul, in that little book called the Holy Rosary. Saint Jose Maria, whom, okay, I'm referring to him all the time, but okay, you're used to it. He writes that that when Jesus goes up to heaven, we feel lonely because Jesus is no longer with us in the same way. Like he's referring to the apostles. And he says, we go to Mary for consolation. We, of course, don't live with Jesus in the same way, like spending those 3 years with him on earth. We live Jesus in a different way, and Jesus, you're with us here in the Blessed Sacrament. But we can identify with that need to also find other types of consolation that you have given us, good consolation. And Mary is a mother to us, and you have given us Mary as a mother. On the cross you said, behold your son, behold your mother. And this, in a sense, this connects with the whole theme that we have been considering. We are body and soul, and God wants to invite us to heaven, body and soul. But because we have this body, you know, this animal body, which is a specific type of animal, you know, we are mammals. It's a bit funny thing to say, but I think it's also very beautiful. We human beings are mammals, and mothers are very important to us. That's how we grow up, and that's part of our being. And even in the spiritual life, we remain mammals. We need a mother. Mother has a special value to us, a special role. And God has given us a mother because that helps us a lot. Mary also helps us a lot in holy purity. She's like a wind, like a breeze of purity. In this month of May, let's make an effort to be especially close to Mary. Maybe praying the rosary well with piety. Maybe we can make a small pilgrimage. It's a very traditional practice, making some small Marian pilgrimage, not like going to another country, but going to some image of Our Lady or some statue there, maybe in the closest parish or some other way, whatever, and praying the rosary on the way, praying there and so on. You can go with a friend and talk a bit on the way, and it can be a very nice way of, you know, growing and rediscovering our love for Our Lady, our Mother. Let's finish our prayer and meditation and ask her to help us. Mary, help us to really live firmly this life on earth with our sight clearly set on your Son, determined to live in a holy way, but aiming for heaven, body and soul. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations which you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.